Good day, friends. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon the wonderful words of life. Today we have a wonderful word of life found in Colossians 2 and 10. And if you're taking notes or keeping scriptures on this broadcast, feel free to write down Colossians 2 and 10. The wonderful teaching of the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul simply told these brethren, "Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." The wonderful words of life on this broadcast today is simply the promise and the truth that we are complete in Him. This would indicate as we look at the whole picture that we are not complete spiritually out of Christ Jesus. We're aware of the fact that men going along in sin can never really call God their Father. People who are sinners, alien sinners, do pray to God. I'm sure that's true. And we're aware of the fact that this shows that, well, they know there's a God. It makes them responsible in many degrees, for truly, they would know what is right, but they fail to do it, or they have failed to do it up to the present point. What I'm trying to say is that when one calls upon God as his Heavenly Father, it's a true indication that he wants to be, or that he must be, in the family of God. Now, outside of Christ Jesus, there is actually no hope for eternal life. Now, as we've told you in past broadcasts, we are not the final judge. But I'm simply taking what the Bible teaches. If the book tells me that the wages of sin is death, if the book tells me that those who are not ready to meet the Lord will hear the king say, the judge say at the final day, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," then I'm led to believe that certainly there's something wrong in that life. The final judge will determine who's going to be in heaven and who's going to be in hell. The 25th chapter of Matthew tells us that he will separate those of the human race. On the left will be the goats, on the right will be the sheep. That teaching is found in the 25th chapter of Matthew. But the point is simply this, that we take the Bible and realize that the entrance of God's Word into our life brings light. It brings understanding to those who are unable at the present time to understand or do understand his teaching. One of the great things that must be considered in the idea of being complete in Him is that we've already said that we are incomplete when we're out of Christ. But Jesus, in that wonderful 11th chapter of Matthew, offered a teaching that I know you've heard before. You probably have thought about it. I want to stir up your mind on this broadcast today by going once again to that teaching. Jesus simply said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Then he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." What did Jesus mean? When we come to him, I am certain that we are coming as one who needs his help. We're coming to him because we realize that he's a Savior. And we come to him by a complete obedience to the gospel. We've told you time and time again what the book of Acts and the New Testament tells us about the conversions. If you were to line all these conversions up and consider what actually is taught, and what the people did to be converted to Christ, you would find five things standing out. And we've mentioned this to you time and time again. We believe it should be stated time and time again because it's gospel truth. They heard the word, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed what they believed in their heart with their mouth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, immersed in water, in the likeness of his death, to be raised in likeness of your resurrection. They were baptized, immersed for the remission of their sins. And then they became a part of Jesus Christ, his body. The reason we are able to determine this is in Acts 2:47, the people who obeyed the gospel, just like we mentioned in the first century, were added by the Lord to the church. See, the Lord took their sins away, then the Lord spiritually added them to the church. Well, someone says, how does this get them into Christ? Well, when one is baptized, according to Galatians 3:27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But all the people that were baptized there in the first century, the Lord added them to the church. Then the thing is understood when we find out what the church is. In Ephesians 1:22-23, Paul simply tells that God had put Jesus in a position of being the head over the church, which is his body. So the spiritual body of Jesus Christ is truly what we put on, what we become a part of. Now the book says that we are complete in him. What does this mean? This simply conveys the idea, in Christ Jesus we have everything that we'll ever need. This was indicative of the first announcement in the lives of those as newborn babes in Christ at Pentecost. When Acts 2:41 relates to us, as Luke records this as an inspired historian, that then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now these people were added, along with those who were already believers, to the body of Jesus Christ. And thus we find they were a part of the church, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But what's the first thing these people did? In Acts 2:42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. What does it mean to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? The word doctrine means teaching, so this means they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. They heard the teaching of the apostles, they believed it, they obeyed it, and they were in Christ Jesus. Now the interesting point is, how complete was this apostles' doctrine or this apostles' teaching? Let's hear from one of the apostles on the broadcast today, motivated by the Holy Spirit, and take this scripture down, for it's important. 2 Peter 1:3. Peter is alluding to the time when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and he says in that famous first chapter in verse 3 of 2 Peter, his divine power, and that undoubtedly is the Holy Spirit, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, it isn't just telling us what to do to be a Christian. The apostles were able to announce this, but it gives us all things, everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And this means we have everything for living the Christian life. We don't need anything else. Now, a lot of people get all perturbed, and maybe they're honest in this, and they think that the plan that's found in the Bible apparently needs some help. So they've got this human organization, and they got this human organization, and they got this human idea, and they got this human dogma, all designed to help the Lord. Now they want to be helpful. But I want to tell you, friends, the Lord doesn't need any help when it comes to the plan for salvation. It's just like the foundation that's spoken of in Ephesians 2:20. You see, when you check that verse, you'll find it's talking about where the Christian stands today. Paul says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, this indicates to me that Christians are not in the foundation building business. Now, don't misunderstand me. Maybe you're a stonemason. Maybe you're a cement man. And maybe you've got a lot to do with foundations of buildings. I'm not saying your trade's wrong. But I'm talking about spiritual things. We are not in the foundation building business. That foundation's already been placed there, and we build on that foundation. We are not in the legislation part of the Bible. We do not, as subjects here in the Lord's kingdom, or in the world as far as that's concerned, have any right whatsoever to write the rules that are going to govern the church. This is why I believe that it's such a disheartening thing. And I know people who engage in this are probably honest. I don't have any doubt about it. But imagine someone thinking that a religious denomination has to get together every 4 or 5 years and rewrite the rules so that what the church is going to believe will come up to the modern time. You know, that really is, when you begin to think about it, it's far-fetched. It's telling us, and I'm sure they don't even think about this, it's telling us that, well, the Bible is not complete. You see, what we need to do instead of writing new rules to govern our life and to alter what the Bible teaches is just simply to take the Bible. That's the theme of the restoration. Let's speak where the Bible speaks. Let's be silent where it is silent. So these meetings, when people get together to rewrite the Bible and make the rules so the church would be brought up to date, there's absolutely no scripture for that. Now, I realize the disciples came together. I realize the apostles came together to consider questions. But these men were motivated by the Holy Spirit. These men imparted teaching that we have in the Bible, and this is a complete teaching. That divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we do not need human organization to teach the Bible. We do not need human organizations to train preachers. We do not need human organizations to care for the needy. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about secular education. I'm not talking about the state-operated things. I'm simply talking about what the Bible teaches. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But there is absolutely no scripture for us to go out here and formulate human arrangements saying that the church can't preach the gospel, so we form a human missionary society. Now, I know a lot of these people. I know that they are sincere people, and we're not trying to cast any reflection on that in this broadcast at all. We're simply saying, let's stay with the Bible. If we're complete in Him, then we have at our disposal everything in this book that we'll ever need to know to carry out the work of the church. One lady said to me recently, and I think she was honest in this, she said, you know, that sounds all right, but she said, if we just follow the Bible, she said, we couldn't even keep the church going. We couldn't support it. And you know, when we talked on about this thing, I asked her what the church was doing that she was a part of. And she said, well, we have this and we have that and we have the other thing. And you know, she agreed with me before we got done talking about it that the things she's talking about had nothing to do with salvation. They were just simple social events. And I realized the budget of the congregation she was talking about had to be pretty high to support all those things. But you see, the point is that we're in this business, so to speak, and it can be looked upon as a business. There are the apostles appointed certain individuals there in Jerusalem over a certain business to care for the needs of the Grecian widows. It's a very definite activity. We're in this for the Lord to win souls to Christ. And you can't win souls to Christ by teaching them something that isn't found in the Bible. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Well, we're going to have to stop. This subject is difficult in finding an end. Maybe you have questions. If you do, feel free to send them in. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to their services, and we trust as we bring this broadcast to you, this being the termination of this current series, that you'll be with us for the next series. I want to thank the brethren who made this possible, and it's been good to come in your family circle. May God bless us all as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.